On the line with us is Seth Miller, who's been on... Seth Miller, what am I saying? Seth MacFarlane, who we've had on the program before. I'm having a rough day here, Seth.
Oh, you know, believe it or not, it is Miller. I've gotten it wrong myself all these years.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good.
I don't know where that came from. Seth MacFarlane, who is the creator of the television series Family Guy, who we had on the program before, and as we have been saying all week, good news, Family Guy is now available, at least the first two seasons, on DVD. The show, how many episodes, I know there's, 28 on the DVD?
There are 28 on the DVD, yeah. We did 50, altogether, for the series, but, this is the first batch.
Okay, so when do we get the other 22?
In September.
Okay, because I just signed up, on the weekend on, Amazon and ordered mine.
Oh, excellent. Well, yeah. We seem to be doing, pretty well on Amazon. I guess I my assistant called me today to tell me we were just under Harry Potter at number two. Which is pretty exciting. Yeah,
that's impressive. Now the problem I always had with a Family Guy is it was hard to find it. And I'm a guy with two TVs and three VCRs.
Yeah. I think there were people who programmed shows for Fox who had trouble finding the show. I think it was that difficult to find. That's sort of the single biggest thing that really contributed to the show's cancellation is that it was literally on like every night of the week.
And that's the other thing too is that I was never really sure about it, and that is, was it officially finally canceled? Because at one point it was gone for a while, and then it came back. Is it gone for good?
It is, yes. I suppose if the DVD sells
hello
medium, then maybe it would they would revisit that. But I think
hello
a closed book, unfortunately.
I think your phone is breaking up a little bit. Can you hear me, Seth? Seth, are you there? Hello, Seth. Can you hear me? I think we've lost him. So we'll take a break. We'll reestablish contact with Seth MacFarlane, who is the creator of The Family Guy. This is Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800.
Now more of CJAD's Holder Overnight on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800.
Peter Anthony Holder here with you on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. Ah, the joys of live radio. Let's try this again. We're joined by Seth MacFarlane.
Hey there.
Hi.
apparently, AT&T Wireless are not fans of the show.
Okay. Either that or they think you have Seth Miller's phone.
That could be. I think I was calling from Iraq, for God's sake.
Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yes. 50 episodes altogether, the 28 that are on the DVD that's currently out that just came out this week. And the question I asked you is we never knew if the show was officially canceled, and is there a possibility that it could at some point come back?
You know, as I said, unless the DVD were to be just the biggest selling disc set in the history of civilization, my guess is it's pretty much a closed book. But you know, they're animated characters; they don't age, so you never know. There's always that possibility. My guess is that it's sort of all finished.
When you create a television show like this, I'm sure you've got an idea in your head as to where the characters, at least initially, are going to go, and who might or might not be a breakout character. But did you ever think it would be Baby Stewie?
It's interesting. I did not. That was a big surprise to me because I really thought that Peter, the father, was going to be the character that people would respond to. And it's funny because Stewie really was kind of an afterthought. You know, I had this sketch of a baby, and I thought, well, geez, I should do something more interesting with this, and somehow came up with this idea of. You know, giving this infant Rex Harrison's voice, and I just figured, this will just be a kind of an amusing side character, and it turned out to be the really defined the show.
Was it always going to be you doing the voice of Baby Stewie, or for that matter, also for Peter or and Brian the dog, or
yeah, Peter and Stewie, I had pretty much set from the start. Peter only because if you're not from New England, it's like the hardest dialect in the world to do. And I you know, there are very few actors in Los Angeles who have ever had a New England dialect, and if they did, they worked very hard to get rid of it. So it was, Brian was the only character we auditioned, and I heard them a certain way in my head, and I just figured, you know what, it's just easier for me to go in there and do it myself rather than try and communicate it to someone else.
And the whole irony is that Brian the dog is the voice that's closest to yours.
Right, yeah. I'm really not changing much for that character.
The thing that I always enjoyed about the show, and I was talking to one of the other writers in the program, was your assistant, Ken Gowen.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I always found about the show I always thought it was laugh out loud funny, and as I said to Ken, there may have been bathroom humor, but there were no cheap jokes.
Yeah, that was really our rule for ourselves, is that, you know, we never really believed in shocking for the sake of shocking, because it's got to be funny, it's got to be clever, and if it's really, you know, if it's really out there and horrifyingly offensive, then it's got to, there also has to be a cleverness to it, so we were fairly self-disciplined as far as that was concerned.
Another thing too is usually when it comes to animated series of any kind, going back to say even the Flintstones, there's always a major effort in trying to keep it as timeless as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And the Family Guy had a lot of cultural references that could possibly date it. Was that a concern of you guys when you were writing it?
You know, it was and it wasn't. I mean, if you look at the old Warner Brothers cartoons from the 40s, I mean, there's tons of references to Bing Crosby and to, you know, the Dorseys and to, you know, just the cultural, pop culture figures of the day. And, I think usually what we tried to do was sort of pick things that were maybe not incredibly hot at the moment. You know, for example, when Titanic came out, we didn't do a Titanic parody because we didn't know how it was going to, you know, sort of withstand the test of time. What we tried to do is to hit things like, you know, Happy Days. I mean, like a Happy Days joke is going to be, you're going to get it with the same sense in 10, 15 years that you get it now. You know, it's sort of withstood the test of time already.
But you also had jokes like, what was one where Baby Stewie screams, shake me like a British nanny?
Oh, right. Yeah, oh boy, I forgot about that one.
That had me on the floor, and it's like, who's going to know that joke 20 years from now?
That's true, actually. I suppose 20 years from now, it'll just play as a rash cultural generalization that makes no sense.
How long from concept to script to getting it on the air, how long was that time from? Because I understand animation takes a long time to get to air.
Yeah,
right?
it's about 9 months. It's about a 9-month process, and as a result, it is a little difficult to, you know, stay current. I remember at one point we did an episode that supposedly it was in the middle of the election that we were writing the episode, and it was an interesting situation because the episode would be finished after the election was over, and so we kind of had to make a prediction in the script. I remember there was one day where we came down to it and we said, well, you know, we just gotta take a wild guess, and we guessed gore because we figured that Bush couldn't possibly win. And it's very good that we ended up changing that story, you know, slightly, because that would have been very embarrassing.
Well, he still got the popular vote.
Did he now?
Yes, he did.
Oh, I don't think you're entirely correct about that.
We're talking to Seth MacFarlane, the creator of The Family Guy, here on Montreal's News Talk Leader CJAD 800. Was there any time where you put stuff to paper and you said, this isn't getting past Fox?
It's interesting because not knowing what your broadcast standards are, at one point Stewie was, this is in one of our later episodes that actually didn't air. We got canceled. But Stewie is, he's got a towel wrapped around his head and he's painting his toenails. And, I think it's like Peter falls out a window or something and there's like a huge crash and the room shakes and Stewie, you know, the paint, he gets paint on his foot and he just goes, shit. And we knew that would not make it on the air, because it probably just got bleeped out just now. But you know, every once in a while we toss something in there just as a lark, just to say, you know what, let's try and get this, let's try and be the first to do something, you know, that hasn't been done on TV before and in the standards department. And usually we lost the battle.
Did you ever play the shell game, put something in the script that you knew they were going to find in the hopes that they wouldn't find what you wanted to keep in?
It's interesting. Some shows do that. I know Beavis and Butthead used to do that all the time on MTV. The only reason we didn't was because we just didn't have, you know, we were working such insane hours just trying to write the jokes that we did use. That it became just a time issue. We had talked about it, and you know, it was just we were so crunched for time as it was that it just wasn't possible to, you know, to write red herrings.
Now, who gets to decide what is actually on the DVD?
It was primarily the home video department at Fox, but you know, it was sort of a you know, myself and the other writers were you know, included in that process. So we, you know, I went through and, you know, picked out some deleted scenes that'll be appearing on the second release in September. Primarily it was put together by Fox home video, and they really did a phenomenal job. The packaging and the layout, everything is just we're really happy with the way it turned out.
Is there anything in the DVD? Let me rephrase that. Is there anything that went to air in the first two seasons that didn't get onto the DVD?
There is one. There is one scene. We it's interesting. 2 years before September 11th, we did an episode in which Peter, Stewie and Brian go on this road trip, and at one point they're in an airport, and this was literally in like 1999 that we wrote this, and there was a joke that had, it was Osama bin Laden trying to distract the airport security personnel by singing show tunes, and as his arms, you know, made their way through the security belt, and it was just, The eerie thing is that I actually screened that episode I gave a lecture at my college where I went to school on September 10th, and I screened that episode that night, and it was of course the next day was September 11th, and it was very very eerily prophetic, but that was actually cut out of the DVD release. And it was, you know, there was sort of, I'm sort of neutral on that, you know, it's, in some ways it would have been nice to have it air as it aired, and, you know, there is some historical value, you know, I suppose entertainment historical value to that sequence in that, you know, we did it 2 years before the incident, but, you know, at the same time, it's, you know, it does sort of, you know, it might bring the episode down, you know. That's the only thing that was aired that was cut out of the set.
We're talking to Seth MacFarlane, the creator of The Family Guy, here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. The time frame it took to bring this out to DVD, you're sitting down, you're going through all the stuff. You don't necessarily get to see the big picture, I guess, when you're working on something, but as you look back at it, do you surprise yourself at how funny and how good it was, and as you're looking at it, not doing it?
You know, it's always strange to, it was very strange to look at these shows in this context, because it was really the first time that I was able to sit down and watch them without having to do work on them, you know, without having to do an edit or a rewrite. I was just sitting there watching them, and it was interesting because, you know, there's always that strange phenomenon of, you know, wow, this show doesn't need us anymore. It can stand on its own. But it was a very tightly knit group of writers and cast, and, you know, we were all still very close. So in that sense, it was a lot of fun and, you know, kind of sad at the same time, because we all really, you know, would have liked to have seen the show, go longer. But it was still fun to just kind of sit there with everybody and do these commentaries and just kind of enjoy watching the programs.
What was it like sitting in that room when you were writing this show? Did you sit in a group situation? How many writers were on the show, first of all?
There were about, on average, usually about 17. We had fewer in our third season because of a budget cut, it actually didn't really hurt us, because the show really had gotten on its feet at that point, and we didn't really need as big a staff. But yeah, it's really just a bunch of people in a room, just trying to make each other laugh, and it's just as simple as that. And we've all got the script in front of us on the screen, and we're just, you know, pitching jokes. And when somebody pitches a line or a scene that makes everybody laugh, then, you know, we'll put it in.
And what's ahead for you?
I'm working on a couple of feature projects. Actually, I'm not yet at liberty to give details, but one of them is an R-rated animated project, which I'm having a lot of fun with.
Is all your work generally or primarily in animation?
Not exclusively. As far as production, that's been what I've done solely. I wrote a live action sitcom pilot this year, which didn't go, but that was actually the first time I'd written live action. I don't think of myself as, you know, wanting to be confined to one medium or another, you know, for the course of my career, but there is something very liberating from a writing standpoint about animation, because really, you know, there are no sets. You know, you can have really as many characters as you want. You're not paying a different actor for each character. You can go to, you know, pop to the Eiffel Tower to do a scene, logistics, things like, physical production budgets are you just don't have to worry about things like location shooting and all that business. So you can pretty much write whatever you want, and it'll get on screen as far as standards is concerned, but it is my favorite medium, really.
Do you find, though, that you end up getting pigeonholed? I mean, some of the greatest sitcom writing comes from shows like, say, The Simpsons.
Yeah.
But people will say, oh, those guys write cartoons.
Yeah, you know, there was a time when that was the case. I think now it's because of the upswing in the amount of adult animation and the fact that it has been you know, animated shows are now included, they're now Writers Guild shows, which they weren't up until, that changed actually right before Family Guy began. So so we were lucky enough to reap the benefits of that. But, you know, it's interesting because all of our writers for Family Guy came off of live action shows, of, you know, traditional sitcoms. And, you know, what we sort of found was that, you know, I was very nervous at first that, gosh, you know, none of these people have written animation before. But really, you know, good writers are good writers, and they can really adapt to any format. And I think, that good showrunners, good executive producers are aware of that, you know, as we were. So, you know, yeah, that's not something that really has you know, hobbled me at all.
Well, I am pretty excited that The Family Guy is now available on DVD. It came out on Tuesday. As with the last time you were on the program, we can't let you go without hearing from Baby Stewie.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Listen, well, do you think I'm made of time? Do you think I've got the time to sit here and bark for you like a seal? What happened, man? What's wrong with you? Who do you think you are? You dirty, filthy, vile boy. Why don't you go stand in the corner?
Baby Stewie, as created by Seth MacFarlane and the rest of the cast and characters from The Family Guy. Seth, I thank you very, very much for being on the program with us.
Oh, thank you.
And again, the DVD is out. The first two seasons, the remaining episodes will come out in September?
They will, yeah, September 9th, I believe.
Now, I'll be checking with Amazon.com at that time, too.
Excellent.
Take care, sir.
All right, thanks a lot.